Now, I talked about assurance of salvation. We already went around the room. That basically answered this first question, but if you're trying to fill in the blanks, I'm going to just give you short one-word answers to these first series of verses that are listed under question one. The first one talks about 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. If you are truly a believer, you ought to be able to look at your life and say, you know what? Life changed. Okay? All of us say to that, I'm going to turn off my ringer. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder. And I won't mention your name, Jerry, but, at any rate, change. Change is something that when you really come to Christ, life changes. Now, I thought I was a believer for a long time, but when I really came to know Jesus Christ when I was 27 years old, I knew there was a difference. It was no longer wondering. There was a change. I thought differently. I responded differently. I just had a different heart. Number two, John chapter 13 is all about they ought to know us by our love for one another. That's the concept. Do they know you by your love for other people? Sacrificial giving. John chapter 14 verse, if you had want to look at it later, is all about obedience. There ought to be an obedience to the Word of God. That ought to be part of what you want to do. You don't want to violate what God would have. James chapter 2 is there ought to be good works. In that passage it says, you show me your faith and I'll show you my works. What James was saying is that genuine faith is connected with response. It produces a work. It's not that you're saved by your good works, but when you really are saved, works that are come out that are, you're serving the Lord. You want to have a change in your life. John chapter 2, verses 5 through 6 is keep the word, and second of all, walk in his way. There ought to be a desire to look like Jesus. You want to walk like Jesus. You want to think the way Jesus would think about issues. John chapter 1 John chapter 3, 13 through 14, I'm just going down your list, is love for the brethren. Repeat of that thought. And one that I should have had on there, and Brother Jerry and I were talking about this just before the service started, and he mentioned how he looks for people in regards to it, and he said they understand the word. Remember that discussion? That would be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. The natural man will not understand the words of God. But a genuine believer has the Spirit of God within him, and in fact, we do. There is a difference when we read the Word, because the Spirit of God helps us. Okay, so I just rifled through the first question, and that is, according to the verses, what should characterize the life of a believer? There should be a change, there should be love, there should be obedience, there ought to be good works, there ought to be keeping God's word, walking in God's way, they ought to love the brethren, they ought to understand the word of God when they read it. Now, what does Paul challenge us to do if we question our salvation? Or if someone comes to you and says, listen, I don't know for sure if I'm a believer. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, examine yourself. But that's an important issue. It's the individual's responsibility to look at their heart. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are disqualified. The message here is that there ought to be a testimony in your spirit. Now, I have talked with many, many unbelievers about this. When you talk to a believer, there is a sense in which they recognize, yeah, I can sense God is with me in my life now. There's a presence of the Spirit of God in my life. With an unbeliever, that is an abstract thought that you can spend the next 2 months talking to them steady, and you'll never totally be able to communicate it. They won't grasp it. It really is a truth that the unbeliever cannot get. But Job gives us a perfect example. Job, who is a righteous man, I gave you the two verses, Job chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 8, talk about how God himself says Job was a righteous man who did, you know, he was more upright than any other. I mean, those are powerful words from God himself about this man. And this is the testimony of Job in chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives. What is he talking about? The testimony of the Spirit of God in his own life. He says, I know God lives. I know it because I can sense it. I recognize it. I see him at work. He shall stand at the last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, for my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Okay? What is Job giving test? That's an Old Testament saint. And we have the Spirit of God in even a more powerful way. It's part of the new covenant relationship that we have with him. But here's the point. When you know, when you have a saving knowledge, the Spirit of God is testifying with your spirit. So if you're here tonight and you really, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, then you really ought to examine yourself. What does Paul teach to be true in the life of a genuine believer? Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What's the message? There is a testimony of the Spirit of God with our spirit. I can read you scripture. It clearly says it. I know in my own life what but I don't know how to verbalize it other than I do sense the presence of God. I sense his awareness in my life. I see him at work in my life. It is a critical testimony that should be present if you're a genuine believer. What in question number 5, what does John teach to be true in the life of genuine believers? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, it says much. Let me just read it here. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Okay, again, the testimony of the Spirit says, because he has given us of his Spirit. Again, that same thought. And we know, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Another powerful testimony about genuine believers sense the presence of God. Now, we talked about if someone comes to you about salvation, they don't know. I was taught originally that you would go to verses like John chapter 10 where it says you're in the Father's hand and no one can get out. And also go to verses where you go to like John 3:16 and talk about he whosoever shall believe. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever shall receive him. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's talking about believing. 1 John 1:12 talking about receiving and believing. And it talks about it in the concept of eternal life. Okay? Well, I was taught to say, well, do you believe it? And I would go also to Romans chapter 10, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? You know, once you've called upon him, you are saved. Once you're saved, then you have everlasting life. And you know what I know about doing that with someone who's wondering about their salvation? The probability of them coming back and asking again is extremely high. where when you turn it around and say, no, Scripture says, not me examine you, and I'm not going to answer the question for you. Because all I can do for you is listen to your words and see, does it match with Scripture? Your question, if you died today and you were to find yourself before God, what would you say is the reason you ought to get into heaven? I would listen carefully to see if it matched the gospel message. That is what another person can do for you. They can listen to your testimony. And the only other thing another person can do is look at your testimony. Look at your life. Listen to your testimony and look at your walk. And then you can make a judgment based on those. But you know what? What really matters is in the heart. And you and I can't see it. God can see the heart. We can't. And I'm not talking about the heart. I'm talking about the inner person. Jerry. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you know what? Yep. You know, and Jerry, I'll tell you what, I so agree with you, and my point was not that we can look at the testimony and tell them and then reassure them. My point is that we as another person are really limited. And Scripture doesn't ask me to judge this person and that person anymore, but other than like in church membership. But in the end, Scripture says, you ought to examine your heart, I'll examine my heart, here's what we ought to look for. Yeah.
Sometimes people even fool themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm trying to do is put forth stuff that you could, Scripture you could use to allow them to leave and, sort it out. Think about it. Okay? And I personally have used this outline that I'm using right now, I have used it many, 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 many times. And with wonderful results. Wonderful results of people coming to awareness. You know, I wasn't saved when I was 13. I was saved I was with an individual not too long ago, and the individual said, you know what? In light of this, I wasn't saved back there. I was saved a year and a half ago. That's when these things happened. And says, now, are you comfortable? Are you confident? Yes, absolutely confident he knows the Lord now. He says, and things have been different. I respond differently. I don't always respond perfectly, very point that Jerry was making. You know, have you ever responded in the last 7 days in a way that would not please God? The truth is, I think any of us are lying if we say, no, I've always responded in the last 7 days right. You know, we struggle. This is a progressive scenario. I trust we're better at it than we were before. Now, I'm going to roll through. I've got 5 minutes, and I really, really do want to finish on time. What has God provided us to help us know? 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 12 says this, these things are written that you may know. He has provided a scripture. It is great to remember that Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, and so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith needs to be grounded in the truths that are revealed in the Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What does it involve? It involves an awareness of our own sinfulness. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I recognize, wow, if it wasn't for God, I was in trouble. If it wasn't for some payment for that, I was in trouble. That there is a price for sin. That's what Scripture says. The wages of sin is death. Whosoever shall call. It talks about in Scripture how, in 1 Corinthians, how he died paying the price for sins according to Scripture. He was buried as a result. And a little bit verse later, It says that he rose again according to Scripture and was witnessed by other people. According to Scripture. My point to question six is that the Word of God provides that. So we need to be reading it. Question seven, if you have truly trusted Christ, what do you become? Well, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, children of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 reads this way, for you are all sons of God. And 1 John 3:1 talks about children of God again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. What a tremendous privilege. We become part of the family in a very, very powerful way.
Almost every letter of Paul calls us saints.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's an amazing thing.
Yep. We become. Okay, now, question number eight, and then I have 3 minutes. If we have sincerely believed and trusted in Christ, how secure is our new life in Him? Now, this is where I finally go to where I used to start. John 3:16 says, if we believe in Him, we have everlasting life. And the point is, how long is everlasting? The question is not, could I lose my salvation? The answer, it's irrelevant. If you really are saved, you're in. It's eternal. It goes on forever. The question is not how long does salvation last. The question is, are you saved? Have you been saved? You see the different point there? It's not how secure is it or how powerful is it, because it's a work that God does. It's a question of whether or not you have had placed genuine faith in the Word of God that says, states about who Christ is. He is the Son of God and what He has done on our behalf. John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, it's the everlasting life. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, talks about we're in the Father's hands, we're in the Son's hands, and no one can snatch you out of it. Nobody, no human being has the power to undo or overcome the power of the Almighty, the Creator, Sustainer, God of the universe. And then I'll close by reading Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good for those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to conform to the image of His Son, become children of God. Sons of God, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He hath predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. It's saying, once we're part of the family, there is no question about the eternity. We're secure. Now, this is given, this is one of these in this long series of notes, just how do you handle something? I shared this with, this is something you ought to put somewhere in your Bible, make notes, or put it in a notebook where you can get it. It's for somebody comes to you and says, man, I'm really trying to figure out if I'm really saved. I just gave you an outline on how you could talk about this with them and dialogue with them. May not be able to do it in one city, but you have a roadmap, and it is a delightful conversation. The fun, it's exciting. Whether they're saved or unsaved, it's an exciting journey as you start to dialogue about these phenomenal truths. Amen?